Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz. This is CougarCast, and we have the dramatic return of the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. Tosh, how's Africa?
It was incredible. That's not a question I've fielded very often, but that is the question I'm fielding now. Yeah, I was out of the country in Africa. It was incredible. But I am happy to be back, watching BYU football games on the homeland. It's a lot easier to find them on TV here than there.
Yes, indeed. I'm sure it is. Well, we're glad that you're back. Let's talk a little bit about the bye week here. 4-4 going into the bye week, Tosh. You know what? Let's do the old traditional, we always ask this on our show. It's the bye week. What's the one thing that you would fix? What would you work on if you were the coaching staff?
It's the cop-out easy answer, but we've got to get the passing game better, which, if we're going to be real, most of that, if we're going to be honest, is on the quarterback. And I don't know what they got to do. We have to be able to improve the passing game. But our receivers aren't doing well. I actually think our O-line is doing a lot better than I think Taysom apologists like to point out to our O-line. But I haven't seen that on my TV or when I watch replays, or I've gone through and watched every single passing play from games. I think it's 80% quarterback right now, 20% receivers, and I think our O-line is giving, on average, enough time to be able to have a decent passing.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation. You know, one of the things that comes up with Taysom Hill is that, boy, he gets sacked a lot. But that was also a talking point in 2013. Boy, he gets sacked a lot. We put a lot of it on the line. And then the first four games in the season, boy, he's getting sacked a lot. You know, in 2016, boy, he's getting sacked a lot. It's like, yeah, he's getting sacked at a more crazy rate than Christian Stewart or Tanner Mangum and stuff. He takes a lot of sacks.
So, yeah, you bring up a good point.
Can you blame the offensive line if every offensive line that has had to protect Taysom Hill has had a higher amount of given up sacks?
And Christian Stewart got sacked a lot less than Taysom. Like that, to me, and I really think that there was a play in the Boise game where I watched it a few times, and a friend talked to me about it at work today. Perfect pocket. His first, you know, obviously what he saw was covered, so he just tries to run straight forward and gets sacked on a play where our O-line was giving him a perfect pocket. And so that's always going to happen to quarterbacks occasionally, though. But I didn't even mean to get on this, oh, our O-line's doing a great job tangent, but I actually, if anyone out there thinks our O-line is the problem, send me a breakdown analysis of that, and you won't be able to. Like, if you look at the film on our running plays or our passing plays, we are, at a percentage rate, doing a great job as an O-line.
There will be a play with mistake.
Totally.
But yeah. Now, let's talk, actually, let's go receiving before we get to, you know, it's a problem. There's a chance. Oliva Hifo, right now, is averaging under 5 yards per catch. He's at 4.7 yards per catch. He has almost 10 catches this year, Tosh. I got looking back as far as the game logs go, we've never had a wide receiver finish under 7 yards per completion.
Sheesh.
Okay? He's under 5. Okay, so,
and he's dynamic. The guy's crazy fast. Like, he's maybe our most fast, like, elusive player.
Ooh, so I was gonna go the other way. Is there a chance he's not good?
No, he's fast. Like,
okay, you can be fast, but you can also, Nate Solberg was fast, but he was a crummy cornerback.
What I'll say with him, I think it's too. He's a true freshman, or at least a redshirt freshman. I actually think he's gonna be in 2-3 years our best receiver. But I think this year they have not given him plays for him to succeed. And he's a freshman and maybe not playing to his full potential when the game's on.
I'll throw this to you. Who leads the team? Who's the best downfield threat of the receivers in terms of yards per catch? Who leads the team in yards per catch this year?
It's I would see Jonah Trenuman.
Incorrect.
Jamal Williams.
Incorrect.
Those are my two guesses. I don't know.
Do I want you to get see if you can get it in five.
Colby Pearson.
No.
Nick Kurtz.
Incorrect.
Well, my last guess is going to be, is there a minimum of catches they have to have?
They have to have at least five catches.
Okay, my last one is, let's go with Marshall.
Incorrect. It is Tanner Baldery.
No way. I was close with the Marshall
guess. You were close, yeah. Tanner Baldery is getting 15 yards per reception. That's a full 4 yards more than the second place guy. That's Trenuman. So you were close. Trenuman was a good guess, but think about that. Trenuman's only getting 11 yards per catch, and he had a 75-yard catch.
No, our passing
game... I mean, that's got to tell you...
Our passing game's anemic. There's no way around that we cannot move the ball downfield throwing the ball. And so that's why everybody who's watched this team, we were pulling our hair out, and I don't even have hair to pull out, when we saw that Jamal was hurt. And, like, this offense, if Jamal doesn't get better after this bye week, Squally played well, but Jamal is our offense at this point this season. And
at this point, he's been the offense the whole season.
Totally. And we have no passing game. And if teams know they don't have to fear Jamal, we're in more trouble. Yes, the schedule does get easier. So I think that's the other thing. You've had people coming after you that maybe we need to make a quarterback change. Let's switch to quarterback talk a little bit, but I just laugh at I think we could put Baldery at quarterback and have some pretty good games these last 4 games of the season.
Yeah, we saw the tight end made a touchdown pass last year.
Like, I don't think it matters who the quarterback is these last 4 games. We're going to see a big uptick in quarterback just due to the schedule.
Yeah, see, it's now is not the time when it mattered. We've got the 117th, okay, hardest strength of schedule for our final 4 games. That means only 11 teams in all of the FBS have an easier road over the last 4 games. Like, this is about as easy as it could get. One of the criticisms we've had of Taysom over the years is that he hasn't beat good teams. And he hasn't. The point is what you said is that it won't matter. I mean, the quarterback play is going to get good. You could make the change now, but this isn't when it mattered. Part of being a good coach is looking at data points, understanding how a team needs to play in order to win, and then figure those things out and anticipate how things are going to go. Now, for whatever reason, the first-year coaches here made the decision that Taysom Hill was that guy. I disagreed with it before the season began. After 2 weeks, I wrote a long, well-researched, tons, all the data in the world to try to argue that even after 2 weeks, we were seeing the problems that I was worried of. And there was no change. Now we're after 8 weeks. We're 4-4. We've already played the really good teams on our schedule. It's too late to make a splash on the national scene. There aren't any good opponents left. There's no signature wins available. Michigan State win gets worse and worse every single week. What is the point at this point of finally deciding that it's the right move to make?
There's only one point. There's only one reason to do it, and I actually think this is a good enough reason to do it. It is to give Tanner some time to prepare for next season so that he can learn the system in an in-game situation, so that he can start getting the first-string snaps in practice. Because, like I already alluded to, no matter who we play, they're going to look great. But I'm looking at next year, we start at LSU. Then we play Utah. Then we play Wisconsin. And I do not want those to be the first games Tanner plays under this new system. I would love for him to get some confidence, to get the feel, to get just to get some playing time with this system. So that's where I am totally in the camp now. I think that they should play Tanner, and that's for the best of the program going forward, because the only reason to play Taysom at this point is to kind of give him a going out tour. But that's not what's in the best interest of the program. And, yeah, we got to do what's best for the coaching staff and the program going forward.
Well, it'll be interesting. So we got a bye week coming. We got an email about this from our man Clark. He got asking us about what it, you know, he wanted to know what we he thought the record would be, if it was Tanner versus Taysom. I don't know, you know.
I don't think it would be that much different. I think maybe you could point to, because let's look at just our losses. So we lost to Utah. I don't know if Tanner struggled against Utah too, and Taysom ran for over 100 yards that game.
Yeah, but he also had a whole ton. I think he had four starts on the positive side of the field. Yeah. They were plus six, they forced six turnovers. They gave it away three times. Now, I'm not saying that Taysom or that Tanner wouldn't have made turnovers. He probably would have too. But when you have a short field, if you can throw downfield and gain some more chunk yardage, you can do that. But we had four times where we started with positive field position. I think we only scored, I think one of the touchdowns came on long field. In fact, both of them did.
Yeah.
So we scored a field goal, so we got 6 points from that.
So I'm not confident to say enough to say that it would have made a difference. But there are two games I am. UCLA.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst offensive performance I can ever remember as a BYU fan.
When Tanner was the quarterback against Michigan.
Yep, that for sure. That was way worse. That was the worst. I blocked that from my memory.
But it was the worst performance with the senior quarterback.
And I'm going to I think Tanner last year lit up a better UCLA team.
Yes, he did.
And I just think our offense would have done better that game. West Virginia, I think that was the best game Taysom's played this year, I think. It was West Virginia. He was making some downfield plays. Yeah, he threw two picks, so there's some on him. But then also,
the two picks were also when we needed him to drive us down and win the game.
He had two chances.
He had two chances, and he threw interceptions both times.
Boise, I actually think people are mad at Taysom right now. But if our defense didn't score 14 points, I think a lot more fans would have realized how terrible our offense was. It was just anemic.
Here you go. Here's our scoring drives. We had a 7-play, 36-yard field goal. Okay. We had a touchdown that was 8 plays, 58 yards. Okay. We had another opportunity where we got 4 plays, 1 yard for a field goal. So they forced 6 turnovers. They had so many opportunities with short field again against Boise and were able to come up with 13 points. 13 points, incidentally, lowest amount of points scored by a team when they score 2 defensive touchdowns and don't turn over the football themselves.
It's crazy.
So, I mean, there are a ton of things to go through that. Let's get a little stat nerdy for a second, because that's what the people love, Tosh. The Boise State loss was the first time since 2000 that a team that scored 2 defensive turnovers and was plus 5 in turnover margin has lost. Before, there were teams that did that, 2 touchdowns on defense and a plus 5 turnover margin. They were 23-0. They are now 23-1. The Cougars are the one. It's rough. Here's another one from Jake Welch. He was on the show with us. Okay. Here's the number of time a BYU quarterback has thrown 35 times in a game or more, and then has thrown for less than 200 yards in that game. Right? John Beck, Max Hall, 0-0. Tanner Mangum, 0. Jake Heaps, 1. Riley Nelson, 1. Taysom Hill, 4.
Jeez.
4. He's had 4 games where he's done that. I have something kind of similar to that, Tosh. All right? Since 2000, we've had 63 games where we've looked to our quarterback to throw the football more than 40 times in a game. In 7 of those games, okay, the quarterback had a passer rating lower than 90. So a passer efficiency rating lower than 90. That's a horrible day at the office, okay? That's a really, really bad day for a quarterback to have. So, with over 40 passes and a quarterback rating under 90, that's happened 7 times since 2000, 4 of them were Taysom Hill.
Jeez.
Okay, here's one more. If you do it by passer rating, okay, everyone since 2000, here are the that actually played 8 games with 5 pass attempts in those 8 games. So, the first 8 games within a season, right? This is by passer rating. The worst ever was 2010 Jake Heaps, 2002 Brett Ingeman, 2003 Matt Barry, 2000 Charlie Peterson, and 2016 Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill wishes he was throwing as good as he was throwing in 2013. Think about that.
No, it's true. Like I was talking about that with guys today.
At least he could run in 2013, too.
A lot of times when a running quarterback gets his legs hurt, all of a sudden they can become a better pocket passer. But I can't explain that he's taken a step back in his running, and I think he's taken a step back in his passing.
He absolutely has. He's behind, just notably, he's behind both Riley Nelson campaigns. Okay? He's behind Christian Stewart's work in 2014. He's behind what Tanner Mangum did. If you want to talk about yards per attempt, since 2000, any quarterback that played in 8 games in a season through their first 8 games has had a yards per attempt of 6.6 yards or higher. Taysom Hill in 2016 is at 5.96. He's just under 6 yards.
We tell the facts because it tells a lot of what's going on. I will say, I feel terrible for Taysom. That I think this guy, you know, he came into this season with lots of options. He chose to come back here. He's got us some of the most fun, best victories in the recent modern era. And then he's came back this year, and from a numbers perspective, for he'd be, I think, the first to admit it's been very underwhelming.
The worst senior season by a quarterback at BYU that's a senior ever.
I respect that I think he always goes all out. I think that Taysom, that's why I think he's playing. That's why he's a captain. The guy lays it all out there always. But this year, things have not gone well. And that's what me saying that I want to switch to Tanner, it's because this year's done. Like, I'm excited to watch these games, but there's no... there's no more marquee wins. There's no we're playing in my mind for next year.
Wins. They're gonna get 6 wins.
They're going to a bowl game. They're gonna have a lot of fun. Here's my dichotomy with this season. It is that I am obviously somewhat frustrated with our passing and offense. But that being said, this year I think we have maybe the best running back we've ever had.
It's one of the best running back seasons in history.
I think it's
Jamal 2016 versus 2001 Luke Staley.
And that's the question, yeah. And I think we have debatably in the argument, there's guys in the argument too, but
Jamal's doing it without any passing to open up the ground.
Crazy.
Like,
yeah.
Luke Staley, what he did... Brandon Doman that year had a passer rating of 167.9. That's the second highest passer rating that we've seen out of anyone. That's higher than Max Hall ever did. So, anyway.
We also, this year, I think we have in the argument of the best safety we've ever had. That he is a turnover-causing machine. No picks this game, but forced fumbles. The guy, Nacua, is a dang good defensive player. I know this is premature, but I think Butch Pau, I think he is already butting into the conversation of one of the great linebackers that we've had.
The defense has been really good. There were times against Boise where they were really not so good. There were times where they were very pleasant and wonderful to watch and forcing turnovers, and they did that a ton. They got 5 of them. They scored 2 touchdowns. Heck, they had a chance at another one. They dropped one of an interception that could have gone the other way. They were really great at times, and then there were times where it was like, hide, avert the eyes of the children. My gosh, look at what they're doing out there.
But we knew that was going to happen, and Boise's good.
And Boise is a good team.
And our defense... This year's defense is not a Bronco bend but don't break. Like, we do play close to the line. We play aggressive. We knew that there would be big plays. We knew that there would be big plays given up, but we'd force big plays. And I think that this squad has done great at that. That's what I'm excited to watch BYU football. When I say the season's over, I mean there's nothing left for us to achieve. But I think this year's football team is actually one of the most fun football teams we've had to watch. That's what's so crazy to me. I am very, passionate and excited about the future of this team. But at the same time, I've had one of the most piss-poor offenses to cheer for in my BYU fandom, too. So it's a crazy season for me.
Yeah, it reminds you of 2012 a little bit, doesn't it? When we had Kyle Van Noy and Ziggy and Sorensen.
We had the other crazy game, how do we lose that to Boise?
Yeah, that's right. But in that way, we're similar. Totally. But that's the point, is we got a Riley Nelson back there.
Riley Nelson had better passing stats.
Riley Nelson was better in terms of...
I heard a radio interview. Riley Nelson was on the radio the other day pointing out things that Taysom could be doing better as a passer. And I just chuckled, Riley's been waiting for this moment. he's been sitting there just waiting, and this season he's got it, that he can call in and have radio hosts ask him how their current quarterback should be a better passer.
It's not great, folks. It's not great. And you got to have more explosiveness in the passing game. That's been really the thing. But again, it's like, I'm not sure we can build towards next year with Tanner now. That's fine. I kind of think that we should have been doing that all along. But, to the credit of the coaching staff, to Taysom Hill's credit, they've had a chance in every single game.
Totally. It's been, I can't say that enough, football team that they have been able to play with anybody. But that doesn't mean they can beat everybody, but they've been able to hang. And so I'll give them credit there for sure. They've made for some heart attack games almost every game.
But it is completely a what-if season. It's
totally.
It's a what-if we would have had these breaks, what if we would have had a quarterback that wasn't giving us one of the worst seasons that we've seen in a long, long time. So... I guess not in a long, long time. We've seen some bad ones recently, too, Tosh. It wasn't that long ago that Jake Heaps was on campus.
I think it's over next year. I really think it's going to make next year's quarterback play pleasant, even though next year's season's tough. But I'm excited, though,
can I – just one last thing, Tosh.
Sure.
Because I know we got to go here. I have to say, I've already begun to see – that people are saying, well, the success that Tanner Mangum has next year when he plays will be due to Taysom Hill.
How?
People are already arguing that Taysom Hill will be part of the reason why Tanner will be good next year because...
He got to watch it for a year?
Because he got to learn the system for an extra year and didn't have to go out there.
I've heard that. I don't buy that for a second. I think the coaches played Taysom because they thought he would give us the best chance to win.
If Tanner Mangum is successful, it has nothing to do with Taysom Hill. I think if Taysom Hill's successful, it has nothing to do with Tanner Mangum.
Yeah.
It's a really bizarre thing for me to...
Agreed.
Take a look at. All right, everybody. Listen, thank you for the email, Clark. I know that we didn't go over it in detail, but I really think that this season has been really, interesting. And like you said, Tosh, it's been a lot of fun. But guess what? It's about to get a lot more fun up in here because the basketball team
is looking good.
Starting out very, very soon.
I also think, the question in my mind is, will Jamal have like a 350 or 400-yard game?
Jamal Eights?
No, going back to football.
Oh, sorry.
I think that old Jamal, with the schedule we have, he, even after missing a game, could get back on track to lead.
He's not a 400. Come on. You're having fun.
He's getting 200-plus against good teams. Let's see how many he can rush for against the teams coming up. So
honestly, you know what? That's what we have to play for this year, Tosh. You remember the old quest for perfection?
Yeah.
And then we lost, and it was kind of weird that was like on...
Everyone was wearing that shirt, yeah.
Maybe we need to make Quest for Doak Walker.
Oh, yeah. Quest for 400.
Quest for 400. It's all about just breaking those records, Jamal. That's why we're watching, baby. So, anyway, thank you very much for listening to this week's CougarCast. We'll be back with more. We are going to have a basketball preview for you, and we'll be ready to preview the Cincinnati Bearcats next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars!